Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Peter Tosh, Burning Babylon with a Bible. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. I first met Peter Tosh not in person, but in thunder. It was the kind of thunder that doesn't come from the sky, but from the soul. The kind that makes your skin ripple when a man dares to speak with the voice of the ancestors and the fire of the future. He wasn't just playing music, he was summoning something. And in his hands, those long, calloused hands that knew both guitar strings and prison shackles, he held a Bible. Not tucked under his arm like a preacher on Sunday, not in a fancy case like a collector. No, he held it like a weapon. Like a sword of truth stolen centuries ago, finally being reclaimed. Peter never rejected the Bible. He reclaimed it. He didn't see it as the property of colonial priests or TV evangelists. He saw it as a coded message left behind by black prophets, Ethiopian kings, desert wanderers, temple builders, whose voices had been distorted by those who arrived in ships, then stayed with chains. He once said to me during an interview, "They give you the Bible in one hand and the whip in the other. But me read the same Bible, and me see retribution. Me see Moses. Me see fire." Peter read scripture not for peace, but for power. And that power didn't ask for silence. It demanded justice. There's this moment I'll never forget. It was in 1981, backstage at a concert in France. The crowd was buzzing, half of them high, half of them still figuring out if Peter was another reggae artist or something else entirely. He was sitting in a worn chair, tuning his guitar, when I noticed it, an old Bible, beat up and highlighted, sitting beside his herb pouch. I asked him cautiously, "Peter, do you still believe in it?" After everything, he looked up at me slowly, lit a match, took a long pull from the spliff, then exhaled. "I don't believe in their Bible," he said. "Me believe in ours. The original one, before Dem bleached the pages." That was Peter, a man who didn't throw the baby out with Babylon's bathwater. He found the gold buried under the lies. He saw David not as a white shepherd boy, but as a dreadlocked youth with a slingshot of sound. He saw Samson not as a cautionary tale, but as a Rasta warrior whose dreadlocks carried divine voltage. He saw Jesus not as some blonde European peacemaker, but as a black revolutionary crucified for defiance. He didn't fear scripture. He decoded it. And then he sang it. When Peter sang Equal Rights, it wasn't a protest song. It was a sermon. He stood in front of nations and said, "Don't talk to me about peace unless you're willing to talk about justice." He saw peace without justice as a kind of spiritual fraud. Because what good is forgiveness if the wounds are still bleeding? What good is unity if the scales still tip toward the oppressor? He quoted Psalm 94 on stage once, without even flinching. "Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frometh mischief by a law?" You think that's just poetry? No, that's a charge, a rebuke. Peter didn't just sing with rhythm. He sang with scriptural weight. He challenged pastors, mocked them publicly, called them out for preaching prosperity while the ghetto children starved. He didn't care if you were bishop, reverend, cardinal, or pope. If you stood beside injustice, Peter stood against you. He famously told one priest on live radio, "You is the same as the police. You just kill slower." That clip was banned within hours. But it still circulates, whispered from youth to youth. Played in basements, shared in dorms, posted on underground blogs. Because truth like that, it doesn't expire. Peter once told an interviewer, "Me is the voice of the voiceless, the pastor of the poor." And he lived that title. Not with a pulpit, but with a mic. Not in a chapel, but in the trenches. He built altars out of sound systems, gave sermons in rhythm and fire, baptized us in Ganges smoke and revolution. And the Bible? It was never far. I saw him flip through it backstage, quoting verses while rolling herb, pausing mid-chapter to scribble lyrics in the margins. The man who sang, "I am that I am," wasn't quoting Pharaoh. He was quoting the divine. He believed that Rasta was the fulfillment, not the rejection, of biblical prophecy. He believed Haile Selassie was the living lion of Judah. He believed Africa was not just home, but heaven, miswritten by the white man's pen. But Babylon never liked a prophet with a memory. They prefer amnesia. They love the version of Jesus that says, "Turn the other cheek." but hate the version that flips tables. Peter flipped tables. Everywhere he went, he flipped them on record labels, on prime ministers, on bishops in robes and cops in riot gear. And they hated him for it, because he had something they couldn't sterilize. Faith that burned. Faith that called bullshit on every smiling lie wrapped in scripture. Faith that said, if God is real, he is not neutral. In his final years, Peter's Bible was tattered. Some said he read it daily. Others say he slept with it beside him, alongside his guitar and ganja pouch. To him, they were all sacred tools. The word, the sound, the herb, each one a key to unlocking liberation, each one a rebuke to Babylon, each one a chapter in the book of equal rights. And now, decades after they tried to silence him, we read the Bible through different eyes. We see the verses he saw. We feel the fire he felt. And we ask ourselves, what are we doing with our faith? Are we hiding behind it? Or are we using it to burn down injustice? To lift up the poor? To roar in public with no apology? Peter wasn't a saint. He never claimed to be. But he was holy in his own way. The holiness of the street prophet. The holiness of defiance. The holiness of a man who saw through the lie and still had the courage to sing.